The monk stood motionless before Prince Louis, his cowled head bowed as though in thought. His long, flowing robe was the pale gray of dirty cobwebs, its hem brushed against the floor, and the billowing sleeves were linked together in front of him. Prince Louis studied the bowed head warily. It wasn't natural for anyone to stand that still for so long. He wondered if he ought to say something, but decided against it. The monk didn't like to be disturbed when he was working. Louis shifted his weight from one foot to the other and scowled uncertainly. The monk was his most powerful ally, and his only real hope against Dominic's sorcery. But Louis wasn't blind to the risks involved in such an alliance. For some hidden reason of his own, the monk followed Louis's requests as though they were orders. But the prince knew beyond any shadow of doubt that all his secular power and elemental magic wouldn't be enough to save him if the monk ever turned against him. The monk was acknowledged by all as the most powerful sorcerer in Castle Midnight. There were also those who whispered that the monk wasn't real. Louis decided, not for the first time, that he wasn't going to think about that. He turned his back on the monk and walked away to stand under his oak tree. He found its shade soothing. He looked aimlessly around his apartment, but there was nothing he could see that needed his attention. Everything was as it should be. The apartment had started out as just another stone-walled chamber deep in the castle, but over the years, Louis had adapted it to suit his needs and whims. The earth magic he'd inherited by his blood gave him power over everything that lived or grew in the earth. It wasn't a very useful attribute inside the castle, but Louis liked to exercise his magic, so he brought the outdoors inside. The floor of his apartment was covered with a layer of earth, from which grew a thick carpet of neatly trimmed grass. Its rich scent perfumed the air. A huge oak tree filled one corner of the room, its branches pressed flat against the high ceiling. It had no real roots, but Louis's magic kept it alive. From time to time, Louis would grow flowers or vegetables in his apartment, just to prove that he could. But of late, he hadn't been in the mood. Since his father's death, he'd had more important things on his mind. Killing Dominic and Victor wasn't going to be easy. Louis leaned back against the wide trunk of his oak tree and glared at the still figure of the monk. He hated to be kept waiting. No one but the monk would have dared to make him wait. Louis pushed himself away from his tree and walked over to look at himself in the full-length mirror on his wardrobe wall. His scowl slowly gave way to a satisfied smile. Every now and again, Louis liked to check that he was still looking good. Not that he ever doubted it, but he found the confirmation soothing. He nodded approvingly to his reflection, who nodded politely back. Louis was a tall, imposing man in his late 20s, with a harsh, bony face and thinning brown hair. His chest and shoulders were muscular, and his waistline hadn't varied by so much as an inch in almost 12 years. His superbly tailored clothes were cut in the latest fashion, but dyed in the only colors he ever wore, earth brown and forest green. Even his cloak was a pleasant russet brown. He carried a sword at his hip, and though the scabbard was ornately decorated with gold and silver curlicues, the sword within was standard military issue. Louis was a master swordsman, and ready to prove it to anyone at the drop of an insult. People talking to Louis tended to be very careful about how they chose their words. The monk's cowled head rose suddenly, and Louis felt a familiar chill run through him as he saw the open cowl held nothing but an unfathomable darkness. The monk's robe might hold a human shape, but if there was a body inside the robe, no one had ever seen it. Louis kept his face calm as he strode over to rejoin the monk and held his head a little higher. He was a prince of Redheart, soon to be its king, and he stood in awe of no man.
Well, have you located them?
Yes, your highness. They're out on the moors, by Boromir. Count Roderick's spells of concealment misled me for a while, but I have them now.
The monk's voice sounded as though it came from some unimaginable distance deep inside his cowl.
All right. You've found Roderick's party. But is Victor with them?
See for yourself, your highness.
The monk's sleeves parted, revealing no hands at the gray cuffs and only darkness within. The right sleeve gestured gracefully. The air before Prince Louis shimmered and then cleared to show a vision of Boromir. Lewis fought to keep his expression calm and unimpressed. It was like looking through a window that wasn't there, save that the scene was utterly silent. Lewis watched closely as the four men on horseback reined in their horses and looked out across the open moor. His gaze settled on one familiar face, and he nodded grimly.